Don't believe anything you hear or see on CNN, on MSNBC, on Fox News. Don't even believe a word out of my mouth. How's that? Just for full disclosure, right off the bat, don't believe anything unless you can see it with your own eyes. Oh boy, am I fired up. Hey, good evening, truth seekers. Welcome to your Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, all around swell fellow, fired up tonight, sitting in for Mike Malloy. Mike and Kathy have the night off, I think, school play or something like that for Molly. I think that's what it is. So you got me broadcasting live from the left coast on election night. What were these people thinking? It's Arizona and Michigan election night tonight. It's a huge night because I'm in and covering it more than you ever want it covered. And like I say, don't believe a word they tell you on the televisions. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm – well, I'll give you more details on that in a minute. Speaking of Michigan and Arizona, we are going to have two – count them two, not one, but two – presidential candidates on the show tonight, live with us on the show. One of them, Buddy, actually, and they're both on the ballot in Michigan tonight. Buddy Romer, the Republican, he was the Republican presidential candidate, former governor of Louisiana, former congressman from Louisiana. He's going to be joining us. He was a GOP presidential candidate until I think it was just last week when he said, "I'm getting the hell out of here. I'm against all of this special interest money, all this corporate money, all of this super PAC madness. I'm getting out of here. I'm running on the reform ticket. I'm running for the Americans elect nomination." Yes, that's what he said. And so we're going to be asking him about that. If he's against taking all that corporate money, what the hell is he doing with Americans elect? Well, we will find out about that. He's going to be joining us. That's one presidential candidate. He's also on the ballot in Arizona. And also Fred Karger, also on the ballot tonight in Michigan, the first openly gay presidential candidate from either party. He's a great guy. We had him in the studio here a few months back. And he was, he was here a few months ago. He's from California. So we had him in the studio. But tonight we're going to be talking to him from a pizza joint in Lansing. That's what I understand. Okay, I got more news for you, a lot more news for you, but I know what you're all tuning in for. You want to know what the results are tonight in Arizona and Michigan, and trust me, we're going to be following it. I am, by myself, the best political team in the country. Isn't that what CNN says, the best on television? I'm the best political team in the room. So you got me here. Glad you do. By the way, we have a chat room over at bradblog.com. They're the best political chatters in the chat room. Stop by bradblog.com. Jump into the chat room. Say hello. Everybody's coming together there. You can also tweet me tonight at the Brad Blog if you like. And a little bit later on, we'll take your calls at 877-520-1150. So write that down. Don't use Mike's normal number. Use 877-520-1150. Okay, everybody else has results theme music. You know, this big sweeping music, this John Williams music. We can't afford that, but we are going to bring you the results, and we do have theme music for our results tonight. So with the polls just closing in Arizona and across the great state of Michigan, let's go right to the results with our election results theme music. Very exciting. Yep. All right. Ah, yes. That can only mean one thing. We have results coming in from Michigan and Arizona primaries in the GOP presidential election race. That's right. As the polls are closing right now, actually, as they are closed, we can report in Arizona, with absolutely zero votes actually counted across the entire state, CNN has declared Mitt Romney the winner of the great state of Arizona. That is with zero precincts reporting, zero votes actually counting. It doesn't stop CNN. based on exit polls or something like that. Stuff that you remember, you're not supposed to rely on exit polls. You remember that from years earlier. They're all wrong. Don't pay any attention to the exit polls. Well, they were just kidding about that, because using those exit polls, they have now declared Mitt Romney as the winner in Arizona by pretty much a landslide, even though no votes are counted. Meanwhile, in the state of Michigan, and this is where the real contest is tonight, ladies and gentlemen, in the state of Michigan, the great state of Michigan, Mitt Romney's hometown, where he was born, where his father served for three terms as the governor of the great state, we can now report, based on, 12% of the precincts that are reporting. Actually, we'll go ahead with CNN. They've got 25% of the precincts reporting. Who knows where their numbers come from? But right now, Mitt Romney is up 41% to Rick Santorum's 38%. But it's too close to call. They won't call it. Neither will we. And who knows what they're even counting at this point. Yes, there are paper ballots across the entire great state of Michigan. That's the good news. The bad news is we don't know if anyone will ever actually bother to actually count them. That's right. They rely on 100% computerized electronic voting results. And that's what they'll tell you on CNN. That's what we'll tell you about tonight. Never mind counting those damn things. At least it's better than an exit poll. All right, that's our election results roundup for tonight. No, not for tonight. For the moment, we'll be coming back with breaking results as they happen, minute by minute, throughout the Mike Malloy Show tonight. You'll want to know each and every beat. Or you can just go on over to CNN. They have 17 consultants there tonight on stage to give you every aspect, to speculate about everything in the world that they don't know about. They are just making stuff up. That's what they do. Romney, 41%. Santorum, 38%. They know absolutely nothing. Oh, and then there's Ron Paul. He's way back at 11%. Newt Gingrich is back at 7%. We'll find out how Fred Carter is doing. He's going to be our guest. And Buddy Romer, who's still on the ballot, even though he's out of the race. But the point is, they know absolutely nothing. Months ago, remember this months ago. I'm kind of wired up tonight, aren't I? Aren't I? A little bit? Yeah. Give me some more coffee. All right. Months ago, I was saying, and I think I even said it on this show, that, it's going to be a brokered convention. I think there's a damn good possibility of a brokered convention. Everybody was saying, you're crazy, that's ridiculous. Romney, he is the, it's a foregone conclusion. He's going to win. Everybody knew it. It's ridiculous to even suggest it. I was actually suggesting not just a brokered convention, but that there was also a very good possibility, and I don't do predictions, but I was making a prediction that there would be a better than 50% chance that none of the people actually running, and back then there was about 12 of them, that none of the people actually running would end up being the Republican nominee for president in 2012. I'm going to stick by that prediction. I think there's a better than 50% chance that none of the four people, the four front runners anyway, that are currently running, are going to end up being the GOP nominee. That's my prediction. So write that down. I've got a lot of tweets to that end that I added. Hashtag save this tweet, because I wanted people to remember. Months ago, when everybody said you're crazy, I think I've got a bet with Ari Berman, who said, it's impossible. There won't be any brokered convention. Oh, yeah? Well, we'll see. Especially if Romney can't pull out a victory tonight higher than, he's up by 10,000 votes right now, with 28% of the results in, according to Michigan. According to CNN in Michigan. But they don't actually bother to count the votes. They just go with whatever the computer tells them. And there's a very good reason to not go with whatever the computer tells you. And after we take this break, I will explain to you why you should not believe. Like I said, don't believe the pundits. They don't know anything. Also, don't believe the results. At least not the ones coming from the computer. So I'll tell you why after we come back from this break. In the meantime, by the way, about an hour or so ago, the early Michigan exit polls were showing that 10% of the voters in the GOP primary were Democrats, part of Operation Hilarity. And among Democrats, 50% of them are voting for Santorum and 15% for Romney. So, Operation Hilarity indeed. Okay, we're coming back with much, much more. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Big primary night. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show.
There must be some kind of way out of here.
Welcome back, football fans. That's the Michigan fight song. And this is your Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. In tonight on primary night, Michigan primary night, Arizona primary night. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we're going to be joined from Fred Karger out of Lansing, Michigan. He is on the ballot tonight, Republican presidential candidate, first openly gay presidential candidate. He's going to tell us how things are going in Lansing. I don't think he's going to win tonight, but who knows? They could just make up any numbers they want, can't they? Let's go here with Michigan numbers from Talking Points memo. They've only got 22% of precincts reporting. I've just refreshed. CNN has 32% reporting. Who knows who is getting what from what? We know that they're not actually counting paper ballots. They've got them all the way, all across the state of Michigan, but instead they're running them through computers and not actually, you know, counting them. They're just going with what the computer tells them. And there's a reason to not do that, and as I'll explain in a second. But here's what TPM has with 22% reporting. Romney is up with 42% of the vote over Santorum with 38.7. That's about 10,000 votes between them. But there's a lot of votes to go, and Romney has 106, and there's a lot of votes in Michigan. 116,000 votes so far for Romney, 106,000, give or take, 107,000 for Santorum. If we need to break it down into the very specific numbers of votes, we will if it gets that close, and it could. But again, they're just taking these. And for Ron Paul fans, so they don't yell at me, yes, Ron Paul has 11.6% of the vote. 32,000 votes there, and Gingrich has nothing. Gingrich? Who's Gingrich? 6.8% for Newt Gingrich. That is with 22% of the vote recorded. Okay, now, the reason you shouldn't believe a damn thing you hear tonight, whether it's me saying it, whether it's CNN, whether it's anybody else, is because they don't bother to count ballots anymore. In Arizona, they've awarded it to Romney. NBC called it for Romney. Fox called it for Romney. In Arizona, without bothering to count a single vote, they just go with whatever the computers tell them. That's how much they trust computers. What could possibly go wrong? Well, here's what could go wrong. This was in the New York Daily News just yesterday, concerning the 2010 election. The NYU Brennan Center for Justice looked at some of the results in the 2010 election, where they have just now gotten. New York was the last state in the union to, quote unquote, upgrade to electronic voting systems. They now use paper ballots instead of mechanical lever systems in New York. But they count them on computer systems. They were the last state in the union to do that following the 2000 election. They finally got it in place in 2010 for the first time. The Brennan Center for Justice went over the numbers and found that, there was some precincts that looked peculiar, including up in the South Bronx, Public School 65. There was all kinds of votes that didn't make sense, an inordinate number of invalidated votes, spoiled votes for reasons that didn't make sense. The election board would do nothing about it, so the New York Daily News made a public records request for those ballots, for those paper ballots, years later. And here's what they published yesterday. Here's what they found on the optical scan systems made by ES&S, the same types that are used across the state of Michigan tonight, across the state of Arizona tonight. Here's what they found when they actually looked at those ballots. Okay, in the September primary in 2010, the scanner at PS65 processed 103 ballots and made 69 errors on them. That's a failure rate of 70%, according to the computers. And then in the November 2010 general election, the scanner handled 289 ballots and misread votes on 156 of them. A 54% failure rate. The errors occurred in identifying so-called overvotes. These happen when voters fill in two ballot ovals for different candidates in the same race, darkening one for, say, Andrew Cuomo, he was a gubernatorial candidate, and the other for the opponent, Carl Paladino. So presented with conflicting marks, the scanner alerts the voters with an on-screen message, gives them two choices, correct the ballot or proceed. If the voter proceeds, the machine then invalidates the vote in the race. The problem was, time after time, looking at the photographic images of the ballots that the New York Daily News got that are recorded by the scanners, they found that ballots were perfectly filled out. There was one vote for Cuomo or one vote for Eric Schneiderman, who was then running for attorney general. Then one vote for Christine Gillibrand running for Senate. And time after time, they say, we also saw that the machine had registered overvotes where none existed. For example, detecting a valid Cuomo vote while also recording phantom votes for Paladino and for five other lesser-known candidates plus a write-in. In those circumstances, the machine invalidated proper votes. So in the November 2010 election on these paper ballot op scanners in the South Bronx, same kind they're using in Michigan tonight to determine this incredibly important race, in that contest back in 2010, there was an error rate of 54% in the general election and 70% in the September primary. They go on. But I'm coming up against a break. And I've been warning you people about this over and over and over, month after month, year after year. I will continue to do it because how can you even worry about the horse race if you're not looking at the track conditions, if you're not looking at how these people are voting and how these results are so-called reported to the people who cannot oversee their own elections on election night. It's insane. But you already knew that, didn't you? Brad Friedman, in for Mike Malloy, Fred Karger, coming up next. Detroit Rock City. You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen, investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, all-around swell fellow here tonight. I understand there may be some streaming problems for those trying to come through bradblog.com to stream at our Palm Springs affiliate. Check out what is this, Des? AM 950 KTNF. Our Minnesota affiliate, AM950KTNF.com. Of course, if you can hear me say that, you don't need to. You're already listening. All right. Also stop by bradblog.com, the chat room. We're going to be joined very momentarily live from Lansing with Fred Karger, who is on the ballot in Michigan tonight. But very quickly here, let's do a results update since it's the Arizona and Michigan primary night. Here's our theme song, our theme music, our results theme song. Everyone has to have some results theme song, so that's ours for some reason. In the state of Arizona, with zero votes counted, all the networks are calling it for Mitt Romney. That's right. They don't bother to count votes apparently in Arizona anymore. 0% reporting, and yet Fox, NBC, CNN, all the rest have called it for Mitt Romney. There you go. Up in Michigan, meanwhile, 30% reporting, according to Talking Points memo. I think they're getting their numbers from AP. Who knows? Because they're not actually looking at ballots. They're just running them through a computer. And the computers tell us that Mitt Romney is now up 42% over Rick Santorum, 38%. A mere 12,000 votes separate them out of several hundred thousand reported so far, 30% of the precincts reporting. All right? There you go. There's our update. We'll have more as the night goes. And by the way, don't believe any of it because they haven't bothered to actually count any of it. They're just reading what the computers tell them. All right. Speaking, and now here's somebody you can believe. Here's someone you can believe, and we're going to find out how he did, because CNN doesn't bother to report how he did. Fred Karger is a candidate for the Republican nomination. You might not have heard of him, but you should have. He's a candidate for the Republican nomination for the 2012 U.S. presidential election. He has worked on 9 presidential campaigns himself. He served as a senior consultant to the campaigns of Presidents Ronald Reagan, George H.W. Bush, and Gerald Ford. He has since worked as an activist on gay rights causes. And he's been trying to investigate the LDS Church. That would be Mitt Romney's Mormon church. And the National Organization for Marriage's campaign to repeal the state's same-sex marriage law out here in California. His run for the Republican nomination for president makes him the first openly gay presidential candidate from a major political party in American history. He's been with us before here in studio, and I'm glad we get him tonight on Michigan Primary Night, live from Lansing. Fred Karger joins us. Hey, Fred, welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Hey, Brad, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Where are you tonight?
I'm at Sir Pizza, which is a landmark in Old Town Lansing, Michigan.
Sir Pizza.
Celebration going on. We're calling it Let's Celebrate History, because I'm making a little history tonight, being on my second state ballot.
This is your second state ballot. Now, for some reason, CNN, NBC, ABC, nobody will tell me how many votes you got. I don't know why. They don't care. They won't let you in the debates. They won't. So are you winning the state of Michigan, as far as you know?
Well, I'm not winning, but I've got my goal is to get more votes than I received in New Hampshire, where I beat Michelle Bachmann by 135 votes. So they just came in. I'm kind of in a back room here to tell me that I've over that by about 20 votes,
okay.
With only about 30% recorded. So I'm optimistic. I'm tied with, a couple of Gingrich in a few of the counties and kind of holding my own.
Good. All right. Well, I'm glad to hear that, and I'm glad you're able to see how many votes you got, because the rest of the citizens of Michigan aren't really allowed to count votes anymore. You just have to trust whatever the computers tell them. So maybe you won. We'll find out. And also, I know how to rig those systems pretty easily, Fred, so let me see what I can do for you before the night is over. Now,
I can't hear you.
I see. Okay. Well, Fred, why are you running for the Republican presidential nomination? Why, as an openly gay man, actually, why aren't you running at least for the Democratic nomination? What are you doing in this race?
Well, you know, you introduced me and said that I've worked for, 9 Republican presidential candidates, and mm-hmm. 3 of them were successful, 6 were not. But, they were all very different Republicans. They're not like these Republicans, the other 4 that I'm running against now. They had a little caring and compassion. They were more moderate on social issues, and the Republican Party has kind of left the reservation. As I see it, I spoke with Mitt Romney. We were the only 2 presidential candidates Saturday morning at the Ingham County, which is the county Lansing is in,
mm-hmm.
Republican Lincoln Day breakfast, honoring mm-hmm. Abraham Lincoln. There were probably another 20 speakers for other offices and county committee members and things. Now, I was the only person who mentioned Lincoln. I said I'm an Abraham Lincoln Republican and talked a little bit about him, and I'm from Illinois originally, land of Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
And, I was just wondering, are all these Republicans now distancing themselves from Lincoln? And I think, some might, even though they're at the Lincoln Day breakfast. So, it was kind of, I got a kick out of it, but then it was also, I thought, a very sad state of affairs of this party. And that's one of the reasons I'm running. The other is another sad state of affairs. I just think Obama is over his head. He's doing better. He gave a hell of a speech today. But I just don't think he's going to bring this country together. I don't think he's willing to take the steps to bring Republicans in to get along. I was a maxed out Hillary Clinton donor 4 years ago. I have great Actually, I'm the only Republican at my celebration tonight. It's a lot of Michigan progressives here. And, you know, I have that ability to get along with people and I think help bring this country back together.
Well, Fred, and boy, okay, you've opened a few cans of worms there. First, and because I want to get back to your meeting, your conversation with Romney on Saturday at the Lincoln breakfast, but what you mentioned Obama. What more could Obama possibly do to get Republicans back on his side? You said you don't think he can bring them around. What could he possibly do to bring your party that seems to be off the rails? What is he not doing, Fred?
Well, you know, Reagan, as my mentor in politics, when he got elected in 1981, the first call he made, I'm told, was to Tip O'Neill, who was a very powerful, very liberal then Speaker of the House of Representatives, and he called them and invited them to the White House, and they watched football and drank a beer or two, and they bonded and made friends.
Yeah.
And I'm told Obama didn't invite Mitch McConnell over for 18 months for a similar one-on-one, not the big four.
Oh, he has invited them over. They have turned him down. What are you talking about? He invited him over for the Super Bowl, actually, and they said no thanks. They have snubbed him. He has done absolutely everything. And look, I'm not, I'm not interested in defending Barack Obama on anything, but I do have to stick to the facts. And the facts are he has been reaching out, trying to do everything he can, and he's met with people calling him a liar, people calling him a communist. You know, he's a socialist. The Dow went over 13,000 today, Fred Karger. I guess Obama hates business that much that, it's at a record high today, for years, since May of 2008. I don't know what more he could have done, and I think that's an unfair shot at him, but You'll stand by it, right?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, you know, he's dug in his heels, and I fault the Republicans too. I'm not just blaming Obama, but you know, we need to get some discourse back in this country. To get along and to get people talking and working together for the good of the country. We have a very polarized Congress, of course, mm-hmm. and we have Republicans, 236 of which have signed Grover Norquist's pledge not to raise taxes. So when that is even discussed, they're out of the room. That's a big problem. But we need to do for once what's good for the country, not just for these candidates and politicians running for office. All they'll do is cut taxes and spend more money.
And
they think that'll make them popular at home.
And do you see any signs that your party, the Republican Party, is actually willing to do that?
I think if there was a good leader who could bring people together, who could make friends with people, compromise, that's the art of compromise is key to politics, and these politicians aren't. I think, an outsider like me could really bring people together.
So they would.
Others have done it.
So the Republicans in your party would come around if only they would compromise. If only there was a Republican president to do it with, right?
No, not at all. And they would certainly resist me. I'm way more progressive than they are. But I think we need somebody who can be civil, who can mm-hmm. get along with people and get this country moving again. And, you never know until you get in there, but I just have done that in my life. Look at two of the most successful Republican governors in this country who were sought after to run, Haley Barbour of Mississippi before he did all these pardons, and Mitch Daniels of Indiana, and they're both former political consultants like I was, Brad. And we're not as partisan. Yes, we just generally work for one party or the other, but we also work with, quite often, Democrat consultants, and we're not kind of the partisan politicians that we're used to, and that's why these are successful governors, because they work well with their legislature. So I would argue, and James Baker's another, mm-hmm. political consultant made good, we just have the ability to be a little more civil, get along with people, and get things done.
All right, well, because I like you, and because I get along with you, I'll let you go on a few of those, but let me get back to Mitt Romney before we have to get to a break, because the reason I got to know you originally was you filed a complaint against Mitt Romney in the state of Massachusetts pointing out that he appears to have committed voter fraud there when he voted in the January 2010 special election between Scott Brown and Martha Coakley for the U.S. Senate, even though he didn't actually own a house there. He was registered, you say, in his son's unfinished basement?
Yes, well, some good reporter dug up the unfinished part. He had made a statement. He was going to move to Massachusetts and register at his son's house so he could vote for Scott Brown. And that just struck me a little odd because I know voter laws. I checked Massachusetts. They're very similar to other states. It has to be your principal domicile. You can't just register your son's house to vote for somebody. Well, yeah, we filed a complaint with the Attorney General, with the Secretary of the Elections Commonwealth Commissioner, and neither would take action against him, very sadly. And I produced many documents, the voter registration certificates, all his absentee ballot mailings, and they were just afraid to bring that up. But he absolutely committed voter fraud.
I believe that he did, and because he voted in January of 2010, he didn't buy his house back in Massachusetts until July of 2010. So the state has refused to take any action on it. And by the way, I'll be talking about it hopefully in the next hour. They just unseated the Indiana Secretary of State for doing exactly what Mitt Romney did. The Indiana Republican Secretary of State has been thrown out of office because he voted from a house that he did not live in. And actually, what Mitt did was worse. He didn't even live in the state, apparently. So, all right, let me get to a quick... Fred, can you stick around for another segment, segment here? All right. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. I'm speaking with Fred Karger live from Lansing, Michigan. He's on the presidential ballot tonight for the Republican Party. Much more straight ahead. Stepping into the Ring of Fire. You're listening to Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com. Tonight on the Mike Malloy Show. Mike has the night off. He'll be back with you tomorrow night. I am joined, but we've got two presidential candidates on tonight. On the night of the Michigan primaries and the Arizona primaries. We'll have more results for you. As reported by the computers after the top of the hour. But I'm joined by Fred Karger, who is the first openly gay presidential candidate. He's on the Republican ballot in Michigan tonight, and he speaks to us from Lansing, Michigan. Okay, Fred, we've got just a few minutes left, so let me ask you a couple of things I wanted to get to. You said you were at a luncheon on over the weekend with Mitt Romney. You were the one who filed a complaint in the state of Massachusetts about his apparent voter fraud. It looks damn well like he did commit voter fraud. Did you ask him about that and or tell him you were the guy who filed a voter fraud complaint against him?
I did not, but I did get a kind of a funny picture with him. You know, he has Secret Service now, so a little different than when I've seen him on the campaign trail and other visits, so a little less approachable, but I did manage to get kind of a bad photo and no conversation, just a quick hello.
Okay, well, please send me that picture at some point because my organization, velvetrevolution.us, is looking into those that complaint and may join you in a federal complaint against Mitt Romney for this voter fraud, because I'm going to talk about it in the next hour, but people have gone to jail, people have been deported for much less than what Mitt Romney did. So I'll talk about that in the next hour. But Fred, also, did you ask him about his Mormon church and why they put millions of dollars into the state of California to push for Prop 8 to ban marriage equality out here, to take away the right to marriage equality out here in California? Did you ask him about that?
Well, I did not. You know, it was a very fleeting handshake and photo, but I did release the day before something I debated quite a bit, but I published a website on the 21st of December called Top 10 Craziest Mormon Beliefs. I did it mostly for the media, so the media could understand the faith some more, because the head of the Public Affairs Department, Michael Otterson, had kind of challenged people that Americans don't know enough about the Mormon religion. So I know a lot about it because I've been subpoenaed by them. I got them investigated in California. So I put this website up. Well, 2 days later, the host of my presidential campaign website called Terra Eclipse, they developed it. They did the platform. I paid them tens of thousands of dollars for the last 20 months. Well, they told me they were discontinuing me because of this other website I'd had on another coast from another server. And I know why, because the Mormon Church ordered them to do it.
Wow. Their
client is Mike Lee, who is the new Republican senator from Utah. And they shut me down 5 days before the New Hampshire primary. And I, of course, fighting mad because that's my way of communicating.
Wow.
And we scrambled, and a friend put up another site, so we didn't lose it, but it's not what I had spent all that money doing. And they're very unapologetic, and they wouldn't even extend it through the 10th of January, through the New Hampshire primary. And I was very upset, and they finally sent me a letter and told me why, and that was because of a controversial website. And they wouldn't have even known about it without the Mormon Church, which had, of course, attacked me again, as they're prone to do after I released it. So I'm not too pleased with the Mormon Church. They've done a lot of damage to me trying to get me off of this path I'm on to make them transparent. You know, we know they were very involved in Prop 8. They only reported $2,078 that they'd spent on all they did in that campaign, and I filed a complaint with our state Fair Political Practices Commission. I was again attacked by the Mormon Church, and they were very quiet 8 days later when the FPPC announced this unprecedented investigation, which led to an 18-month investigation. They prosecuted the Mormon Church, and they finally were found guilty on 13 counts. So I've been doing battle with Mitt Romney's religion because I have no objection to the faith or anything. It's just their political involvement and the money they spend and personnel and don't report. They got to play by the rules.
Keep up the good fight, Fred Karger. And if you need if you need a better website, a server or something, drop me a line offline, and let me try to help you out there. I actually do believe in freedom of speech. Apparently, the Mormon Church doesn't. Fred Karger, you can check him out at fredkarger.com to support his run for the Republican presidential nomination. Also, follow him on Twitter at Fred Karger. Thanks, Fred. Good luck out there tonight.
You're the best. Thank you very much, Brad. Talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you much.
Bye.
All right. That's Fred Karger. Check him out. FredKarger.com. Much more show straight ahead right here on the Mike Malloy Show, including Governor Buddy Romer is also going to be joining us next hour. I'm Brad, in for Mike. Stay with us. Welcome back. Oh, it's hour number two of the Mike Malloy Show, broadcasting live from the left coast here in beautiful downtown Burbank in the beautiful studios of K-Talk AM 1150. Mike has the night off. He and Kathy will be back with you tomorrow night. Until then, you got me, your friendly citizen, investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, all-around swell fellow from bradblog.com. Drafted into duty once again to occupy your public airwaves on election night in Michigan and Arizona. An interesting election night it's turning out to be. We'll have the latest results for you momentarily. And coming up later on this hour, we're going to have Governor Buddy Romer, who is on the ballot tonight in Michigan and in Arizona, even though he is no longer running for the Republican presidential nomination. He's now running on the Reform Party ticket, I believe, and he hopes to get on the Americans, hopes to win the Americans elect nomination. I will be holding his feet to the fire about that tonight because Romer has been great. He's been running as a no corporate money guy, no super PAC money guy, no donations higher than $100, and yet Americans Elect has something like $30 million, and they won't tell anybody who it's from. So we will ask him about that. I spoke with him a couple of months ago on my show that I do, a weekly show on Pacifica Radio. And he told me that if he decided to run for that third party Americans Elect nomination, that he would insist that they disclosed where their money came from. So we're going to talk to him about that in a little bit. Let's see, just very quickly, some what would appear to be good news before we get to the results. And we've got our theme music, our election results theme music queued up, Tony. Okay. Let's see, some good news today. Dow over 13,000. Now, that's good news, at least if you're a Democrat and if you're Barack Obama, who I understand hates business. He hates business. He's made it impossible for American corporate, with his socialist and his communist background, it's over 13,000 for the first time since May of 2008. How did that happen? Also, Olympia Snow, out of left field here, has decided to not run for the U.S. Senate for re-election. So, a Republican from Maine, where they just make up election results. Just ask Charlie Webster, the Republican chair up there in Maine. The first time, for all of these years, the first time that the Brad blog has ever called an election stolen, ever. I know a lot of people think that I'm always yelling fraud this, fraud that. Let me tell you, we've never actually done it until the Maine caucuses a few weeks ago, when Charlie White blatantly came out and tried, at least, to steal the election for Mitt Romney, announcing Mitt Romney the winner on caucus night by 194 votes, despite the fact that two counties had yet to even cast their votes at all. So anyway, that's where Olympia Snow is from, giving the Democrats a very good chance to get to pick up another Senate seat up there in Maine and hold on to the Senate. So that's some more good news for Democrats today. Of course, this mess in Michigan tonight, where Romney was supposed to win, in a heartbeat. It's his home state. His father was a three-term governor there, and he's been fighting for his life, Mitt Romney has, against Rick Santorum. Against Rick Santorum, of all people. Well, we'll update you on the results. The results coming in. Here's our election night theme music here on the Mike Malloy Show. Yes, that's right. As we earlier told you, with zero votes still reporting out of Arizona, that's right, zero votes reporting, all of the television networks were able to name Mitt Romney as the winner in Arizona, based apparently on exit polls or something else that you're not supposed to look at, that they get to look at, but you mere mortals are not allowed to see it. And if you do, pay no attention to them, because they're always wrong. Unless a news network like CNN, ABC, CNN, MSNBC, Fox, unless they're relying on them to give you the results to actually call the race, in which case the exit results, the exits are perfect. Actually, we do have 26% now reporting in Arizona. That would be 26% of the computers counting the paper ballots out there. They are reporting that Mitt is winning by 50% to Santorum, 24%. Gingrich, 16%, and Ron Paul, just 8.7%. I was in Arizona last week, by the way. You wouldn't even know there was an election going on. There was no signs. There was no... I saw one little Ron Paul sign, one Rick Santorum. That was it. I guess they just gave it to Romney. Okay, the bigger contest, however, in Michigan, with 62% reporting, Mitt Romney is now in the lead by just 29,000 votes out of more than 500,000 so far counted by the computers out there, if you trust those things. He's got, 280,000 he's up by 30,000 now, it looks like, over Rick Santorum, according to the computers that never, never get it wrong, except in New York. And everywhere else. And if you missed my report on that, check out the archives tonight at bradblog.com. You can find out what happened in New York when one precinct had those optical scanners miscount by some 70%. But other than that, there's nothing to worry about. Okay, that's our update for our election results. Updates. Looks like Santorum is addressing supporters right now, conceding the election tonight with just 62% of the precincts in. Rick Santorum. Oh, this party's a mess. That party is a mess. All right. I was talking in the last after. Oh, our phone number is 877-520-1150. We'll see if we have time for calls. I do have Governor Romer joining me at the bottom of the hour, but 877-520-1150. Third hour of the show is going to be nothing but your calls and me ranting about this and that. Let's see. Oh, the other thing, bradblog.com. Check out, stop by, jump into the chat room there. Lively conversation as ever. People calling me names and things, which I always enjoy. And you can meet me on the Twitters at TheBradBlog. All right. Is that all that business out of the way? Okay, I want to talk about, I had mentioned in speaking with Fred Karger in the last hour, he had filed a complaint against Mitt Romney for voter fraud. Now, you know, people who listen to me, people who read Brad Blog, people who listen to Mike Malloy, know that Republicans are going around the country yelling and screaming about voter fraud going on, a Democratic epidemic of voter fraud going on. So they need to institute these polling place photo ID restrictions, despite the fact that they can't seem to show any cases of actual voter fraud that would be stopped by photo ID restrictions at the polling place, since the only type of voter fraud that those photo ID restrictions stop are in-person impersonation. But nobody actually does that. Good luck finding anybody who goes in and says, I'm Joe Blow, and I'd like to vote, if their name is not actually Joe Blow. It just doesn't happen. It's extraordinarily rare. On the other hand, voter fraud by absentee ballot, that happens. Voter fraud like what Mitt Romney appeared to do in 2010, as Fred Karger has reported, that happens. Mitt Romney had moved out of the state of Massachusetts. He did not move back. He didn't buy a house until July of 2010. And yet in January of 2010, Mitt Romney, the supposed front runner for the Republican nomination for president, voted in Massachusetts as registered in his son's unfinished basement. Now, the state of Massachusetts has so far refused to investigate what appears to be an obvious case of voter fraud. There may be a federal complaint about that. But meanwhile, back in Indiana, the very first state in the nation to institute polling place photo ID restrictions, the Secretary of State, the top election official in the state, has now been found guilty of 3 felony counts of voter fraud, 6 felony counts overall, and last week he was sentenced for those felonies. We're going to take a quick break. I'm going to come back and tell you what happened to Charlie White, Secretary of State of Indiana. Oh, Republican. You're listening to Brad on The Malloy Show. Is that you? We're going to do this again in April, Tony. We're back for like a whole week in April. Until then, it's just me tonight. Mike and Kathy have the night off. Me, Brad Friedman from bradblog.com, in for Mike Malloy. And he's not letting me calm down. He likes it when I'm wired. We're going to be joined in the next segment by Governor Buddy Romer, who is no longer a Republican presidential candidate, but he's an independent presidential candidate. We're going to talk to him about that. And now, oh, you got our election theme. We got an update here. We got some breaking news here. Here's our election results music. Tony, you got that, the GOP primary election results music. Tony is the worst engineer in broadcast. Oh, here we go. Okay. There we go. Yes, our breaking news here tonight from the GOP primary out of Michigan. CNN is now calling the race in Michigan for Mitt Romney. So is NBC calling the race for Mitt Romney. He has won his home state. He's very excited. He has won it by, well, let's see. CNN has 74% reporting, if you believe what the computers are reporting, by 4%. He's won his home state by a bare 4% margin as of now. If you believe the results reported by the ESNS computers and the Diebold computers and the Sequoia computers, and why wouldn't you believe them? Okay. There's our update for now. We'll have more on that exciting breaking story as it develops, as they decide if they're going to actually count one of those ballots. You know, like look at it with their eyeballs and count it. Silly them. Why would they do that? AP is also calling it with 69% in for Mitt Romney. So it looks like it's Mitt Romney City, baby. Between here and November, it's nothing but Mitt. He won't wear on the party at all. Okay. All right, before I get too carried away, let me, because I want to get this in. Okay, so Charlie White, he's the Secretary of State of Indiana, Republican Secretary of State. He won the race in 2010. Indiana is the first state in the union to institute voter suppressing, voter disenfranchising, photo ID restrictions at the polling place. The first state in the union, because voter fraud is such a problem out there in Indiana, they had to put this restriction in place. Never mind that tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of voters out there in Indiana don't actually have a photo ID. Never mind that when they first instituted them in 2008, 80 and 90-year-old nuns were being turned away from the polls by their own sisters. Students turned away from the polls. Vets turned away from the polls. But now the Republican Secretary of State, Charlie White, was found guilty earlier this month in February of six felonies, three of them for voter fraud. Yes, Charlie White registered to vote at a place where he didn't actually live. He voted from that place. That is voter fraud. And, of course, the photo ID restrictions there did nothing to stop him from committing that voter fraud. The chief election official in the state of Indiana. Two different trials found that he did this. The first was a civil trial filed by the Democrats. And the judge in that case ordered him removed, ordered Charlie White removed from his position and replaced by the second place winner, since he was not eligible to be on the ballot in 2010, replaced by the second place winner, Democrat Vop Osili. That ruling is being stayed while Charlie White appeals. Then he was found guilty of those six felony charges, three of them for voter fraud. And if you're a felon in the state of Indiana, you cannot serve in statewide office. So he has now been removed. He's going to be appealing that as well. But last week was his sentencing hearing for six felonies. Three of them for voter fraud. And what did Charlie White get? What is the terrible penalty that he faces? He'll have 1 year of home detention. That's right. 1 year of home detention. No prison, no nothing. 1 year of home detention. He's actually 1 year for each of these six felonies, but he gets to serve them concurrently. Meantime, contrast that with Kimberly Prude. Up in Minnesota, back in 2000, she wrote a bad check, so she got a felony count. She didn't go to jail either for that. But 4 years later, she registered to vote in the 2004 election, and because she was going to work the polls on election day, she voted early. She voted absentee voting. And then she found out from her probation officer that since she's on probation, she's not allowed to vote. So she called City Hall and tried to have her vote removed, tried to rescind her vote, said, I didn't know. I didn't know I wasn't allowed to vote. And what was the thanks that she got by the U.S. attorney in the George W. Bush administration back in 2004 when trying to rescind her own vote? Kimberly Prude was sent to jail for more than a year. Charlie White, on the other hand, he'll stay home with his family. And then there's Usman Ali, who never voted at all. He's from Pakistan. He never voted at all, but at the DMV, they handed him a voter registration form. He accidentally filled it out, not knowing he wasn't supposed to. And the George W. Bush administration deported him back to Pakistan, though he's been here for 10 years, has an American wife, an American child. He's now a stranger in his homeland. While Charlie White has home detention for 6 felonies. Go figure. Brad, in from Malloy.
I'm a capturer. So
you're going to love this. Just love it.
Yes, we are stuck in the middle with you, and no place I would rather be. Speaking of stuck in the middle, we're going to be joined in just seconds with Governor Buddy Romer, who is actually still on the ballot tonight in both Michigan and Arizona. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Mike Malloy. Next hour, your calls, all your calls, 877 All your calls are belong to us. 877-520-1150. If you'd like to get in line right now, that's 877-520-1150. You can, if I need to, I can talk to about it more in the next hour about the situation in Indiana with Charlie White and the slap on the wrist that he got as Secretary of State for committing voter fraud, while people who committed much lesser crimes were sent to jail for over a year, were deported to other countries. You can check out my story. I wrote about it yesterday at Salon, over at salon.com, or we have a link at bradblog.com. Okay, let me get to my next guest. Very excited. Our second presidential candidate guest of the evening. Buddy Romer was, until recently, running for the Republican nomination for President of the United States. He was the 52nd governor of Louisiana, served from 88 to 92, and before that, he served 4 terms as a member of the United States House of Representatives from Louisiana's 4th District, the fighting 4th. Despite all of that, however, he was not allowed to participate in even a single televised debate. Why? Apparently, he's not crazy enough. I don't know why. We'll ask him why. But now he's one of the reasons, perhaps, is because he's vowed to take no corporate money, no PAC money, no super PAC donations, and no donations higher than $100 individual donations. Well, that won't work in the Republican Party, will it? So he's now left the Republican Party, left the GOP race for president. He'll be running on the reform ticket and hopes to seek the Americans elect nomination. Delighted to be joined once again by Governor Buddy Romer. Governor, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Thank you, Brad. It's good to be with you, man.
Great to talk to you again, my friend. Now, I know you're still on the ballot in Michigan and Arizona. When that's the case, do you secretly peek in to see how many votes
no.
you're still getting out there?
No, they shouldn't vote for me in the Republican ballot, in the Republican primary. We were on about 30 state ballots.
Mm-hmm.
And then through the process of the primaries, there were 23 nationally televised debates. And we were not included in a single one. I couldn't get an answer it was a moving target.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they required a certain percentage in the poll, and mm-hmm. when I made that, as I did in 12 of the 23 debates, I had a higher percentage than at least one other person on the poll. They said there were monetary figures, and I said, what does that mean? They said you had to raise so much money in the last 60 or 90 days. Now, we've raised $500,000, Brad. Average gift is $25, no PAC money, no super PAC money. Every state in America has given us money, people that live there. We're the only candidate that gets federal matching funds. We're the only candidate that qualifies.
Mm-hmm.
We're the only candidate that's been a congressman and a governor. And the Republican Party, state by state, decided that I was not to be included in any debate, and they will not give me a straight answer why. And that's why last week I decided to go a different direction. Same person. I'm the same guy.
Uh-huh.
I think this is the same country that needs reform, but we're going to try to get on the national stage with Americans elect.
And I want to ask you about that. But first, I want to understand, what is your gut sense here? I know they kept moving the goalposts on you. Do you think that this was a legitimate, that they had legitimate criteria, or do you feel that there was actually a concerted effort by the Republican Party to specifically keep you out of these debates?
I don't think it was either. Let me take you in a different direction. I think when I stood up in February and said that I was going to seek the Republican nomination for president,
mm-hmm.
and that I would accept no money over $100 from any person,
right.
and that I would fully disclose, and like in my entire politics, I've never taken PAC money. I didn't take it running for governor. I didn't take it. I said I would not take PAC money, and I said I would not allow a super PAC to be formed on my behalf.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Republican hierarchy didn't take me seriously. And so the first debates, they didn't consider me. How can a guy run for president and not go to Wall Street and get a big check? How can a guy run for president and not stand up in the White House and say he's going to collect $1 billion? How can a guy run for president and say, I'm depending on the people? I'm not depending on a party. I won't take a dime from my party. I won't take a dime from PACs. I won't take a dime from super PACs. I think a president ought to be free to lead. So I think in the first few months, the first 7 or 8 debates, I was not well known, so I didn't show up in the polls, and they didn't take me seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Then in the second 7 or 8 debates, when I began to show up in the polls, they said, why should we add a new guy? He's got 2%. He's got 3%. In a couple of polls, I had 4%. They said, but why should we take a new guy? These other guys have already done it 15 times. Why should we let this guy come in? So I don't think it was a plot. I don't think it was a conspiracy. I think they discounted me at first.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I begin to get known a little bit nationally,
mm-hmm.
and my message rang, they said, we don't need any new rings. We don't need any new speeches. We're not going to let him come.
But it seems to me like they very much do need new people, new speeches. I mean, they seem to be desperate. Is it just me, or does the Republican Party hate all four of these guys?
This is brutal. I mean, this is in a nation of greatness, at a time when we need to think beyond the box, at a time when we need a country to come together, when we need a leader not to be a party hack or a fundraising wizard, at a time we need a president to do immigration reform, budget reform, tax reform, energy reform, health care reform, banking reform. We need to start with reforming our politics. And, you heard me say it before, Brad.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say it again. I think Washington is broken. Nothing positive happens. I know the president must be frustrated because when he submits a plan, it goes nowhere. So usually he doesn't even submit a plan. That's no excuse. I'm not defending him. But this is the kind of system we have now. Washington is broken. But more than that, it's bought. And you have to take it back and be free to lead. I think those are the keys. I mean, remember, Brad, I'm 68 years old. I'm a granddaddy. I'm a successful businessman. I'm not bragging. That's just a fact. Mm-hmm. I built a billion-dollar bank. We didn't foreclose on a single mortgage holder in our bank. We made money every quarter. It was good business to treat people right. I have that background and been a congressman as a Democrat, working with Ronald Reagan when I thought he was right, which was about three-quarters of the time, thought he was a good president, enjoyed working with him. What could we need more than a man to say, I won't take the special interest money, I won't take the big check, and here's what I'll do if you put me in the job. I'll be free to listen and to lead and not go a Republican way or Democrat way, but build a new America. That's what I believe.
I'm speaking with Governor Buddy Romer. You can check him out at buddyromer.com. All right. Well, Governor, you have now left that Republican Party to seek the Americans elect nomination. When I spoke with you a couple of months ago on my Pacifica radio show, I know you were thinking about it at the time, and I said, well, for a guy who, eschews secret money and corporate money, these guys, Americans elect, have now turned. They were all about transparency. Now they seem to be a 501c4 that does not have to disclose their funding. They've got millions of dollars that nobody knows where it's coming from. And I asked you back when I had you on the show a couple of months ago, would you insist if you ran for that nomination that they disclosed their donors and where all that money comes from? So now I got to hold your feet to the fire. Are you going to do that?
I have said it. I met with their leader 2 weeks ago, nearly 3 weeks ago in Los Angeles. He disclosed for the first time how much he had contributed to building Americans Elect. It was $8 million.
And that was who is that you met
that
with?
That was Peter. God help me with his last name. Peter. Brad. Peter starts with an A. I apologize.
And I know I have it in my friend. I'll find it. Go ahead. We'll look it up. All right. Go ahead.
Yeah. But he said that it was about a $30 million not-for-profit raise.
Mm-hmm.
He said that the people who had given him the money said that it was an understanding that it would be non-disclosure. I said, well, my rule is full disclosure. He said, well, we won't give you any money. I said, well, that's good. I don't take money from parties or organizations or corporations. He said, you don't know who the investors are, and they can't influence you a bit. He said, what I want you to consider is to stand on a platform. We're spending $30 million to get our candidate on every ballot in America. Now, that is expensive. Ross Perot spent half of his time and 60% of his money getting on the ballot. We'll have a separate program sometime to show you how difficult that is.
Right.
He said, what we're doing, buddy, what I want you to consider is that no one's going to call you. We're not giving you any money. All we're doing is saying that we think the country ought to come together with a unity ticket, and we'll provide a ballot in all 50 states, and you'll never hear us or see us. You don't know who we are. You've met with me personally, and I tell you what I put in, and you can read about me. But he said no one else can call you and say, well, I helped make this possible. You can just say, no, you didn't. I didn't get a dime from you. And I was persuaded that I would stand on my principles and ask for full disclosure. I will do it in my contributions. I will take none of their money. None of their money. What they're providing is ballot access in 50 states. Without that, an independent like me has no chance.
Okay, Governor, and I believe that's Peter Ackerman who you were meeting
Peter
with.
Peter Ackerman,
right.
That's correct. That's correct.
I got to take a quick break because this is commercial radio, but I want to come back and ask you because it sounds to me like, if they are going to be running a candidate on all 50 ballots around the country, even if they don't give you or their candidate any of that money, there is a reason they want to do that. Do they want to hurt President President Obama? Do they want to hurt the Republican candidate? And I'm not sure. I'm going to press you a little bit after we take this break. I'm not sure I'm completely comfortable with the idea that, as long as they don't tell you, as long as they don't give you any money, it won't be a problem. But we're going to talk about that when we come back from the break. I'm speaking with Governor Buddy Romer, who is now running for the Americans Elect nomination. I'm Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
Riding on the city of New Orleans, Illinois Central, Monday morning rail.
Louisiana music for my guest here, Governor Buddy Romer. You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. Your call's coming up next hour, 877-520-1150. Get in line now. Don't wait till the end. 877-520-1150. Okay, speaking with Governor Romer, who is no longer a Republican candidate for the Republican nomination. He's now running for the Americans Elect nomination. Now, Governor, you know I've been a big fan of yours because I know you were out there meeting with the Occupy Wall Street people all over the country. You're great. By the way, if you don't follow Governor Romer on the Twitters, I suggest you do at buddyromer.com. And during Republican debates, if they have any more, keep an eye on Buddy's Twitter because he's great.
Thanks, Brad.
Yeah,
and
no,
thanks, Brad.
And I really appreciate the way you've been calling these scoundrels out for their, for the corporatocracy, not just the scoundrels, but the whole corporatocracy. When we get to Americans Elect, apparently Peter Ackerman, he's the only guy, there's three directors of this Americans Elect outfit. Peter Ackerman is the only guy who has actually disclosed, this according to irregulartimes.com. Jim Cook has been done great reporting on this. That Ackerman is the only known monetary contributor to Americans Elect. Until Americans Elect converted itself from a Section 527 into a 501c4 corporation so that it could hide the identity of its contributors, Ackerman was the alpha and the omega of Americans Elect's budget, its sole funder. But that's $8 million you said he paid. There's another,
that's what he told me.
What he told you. There's another $20 million. People don't put this in, put that kind of money out there, not for nothing. And I got people in the chat room, Governor, saying, Buddy is falling for this fraud of Americans Elect. Are you really comfortable running for a nomination for a party that you have no idea who is paying all of this money to get you on the ballot? Are you comfortable with that?
Absolutely not. I've made two commitments. One is I will disclose everything given to me.
Mm-hmm.
I will accept no money from these guys, none, zero, no issues from them. There will be no platform. It is not a party. Number two, I will repay every dime they've put in during this campaign. Now, that's somewhere between $20 and $30 million. And you say, how is that possible, Buddy? Well, I won't have a candidacy unless I catch fire in America and people want to do things differently. And if I get a million Americans to give me $100, I got 21,000 so far. If I get a million Americans to stand up and say the two parties are connected at the billfold, there's not a damn bit of difference between them, and we want somebody free to lead, my first money goes to repay Americans Elect. I don't know who they are, where they come from. I take nothing from them, Brad. You should understand that.
I hear
and
you.
I will take my first contributions and repay. If I get this nomination, and by the way, they don't nominate a soul. They have 600,000 members across America using social media, and they'll do the nomination. There'll be six nominees, and then three, and then one. And I'll have a vice presidential candidate, a woman or a man, of another party, and we'll join a unity ticket. But our fundraiser will pay them off completely. And let me say this, Brad.
Okay.
We will not take a dime from them. Now, you asked me a key question. Let me answer it honestly.
And let me tell you, I only got about 30 seconds, Governor.
Am I comfortable without doing the things that I just outlined. No, I'm not. I believe in full disclosure. They have their rules that they started. I will pay them off.
Well, I'm worried that you can't possibly pay for what it costs to get on to 50 state ballots, if in fact that's what they do. But I hear you, and I think the conversation will continue. And Governor, I hope you'll tell Peter Ackerman, please put in a good word for me. I'd like to ask him some questions, if you don't mind.
Sure.
If he's willing to say that he put in $8 million, I think he should answer some questions. For the public, before I can decide whether, for any of us can decide whether we should cast our precious vote for you or anyone on their ticket.
Yeah.
Governor.
Remember, Brad, yeah. They don't endorse me. I'm not asking for a damn thing from them, just a chance to stand before the American people. That's a big difference than being a Democrat or a Republican, where they require you to sign a platform of, as you well know, they require you to adhere to their rules. I will not do that.
Governor Buddy Romer, buddyromer.com on the web and Buddy Romer on the Twitters. Governor, thanks for keeping up the good fight and for showing up. I hope we'll talk again soon in the future, my friend.
Thank you, man. Thanks,
all right,
Brad.
Brother.
Bye-bye.
Have a good night. You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman in for Mike. Your calls next at 877-520-1150. Whatever's on your mind, these are your airwaves. Let's hear from you. Yes, indeed. Welcome back to your Mike Malloy Show, our final hour tonight. Mike and Kathy are off for the night. They'll be back with you tomorrow. Then I'll disappear until April. And then I shall return for a week in April. Not for April Fools. For some reason, they're not having me on April Fools this year. Why is that, Des?
I have no idea whatsoever.
Yeah. No, actually, it's because it's on a Sunday.
Oh,
otherwise, they'd have me back for April. What do they care?
We did have fun last April.
We did. And so 877-520-1150 is our number. We're going to take your calls here. Want to do very quickly do the Green News Report. As you just heard, I'm joined by the lovely Desi. Oh, wait a minute. I said I'm Brad from bradblog.com, but I forgot the chat room. Bradblog.com. We've got a chat room going on there. Come on by and say hello. While the show is live and rolling, everybody's in there having fun. And maybe after the show, I'll go in there on video.
Yeah, and also don't forget about the Twitters.
Naked. What?
Oh.
No, I'm not going on naked. The Twitters, you can meet me at the Brad Blog on the Twitters. You can also find Desi Doyen at Green News Report. She is my co-host on the nationally syndicated Green News Report, heard on fine progressive radio stations near you. And if it's not heard on your progressive radio station, you should raise holy hell and complain. How's that?
Call them, not us.
No, don't complain to us. We didn't
do it.
It
won't do you any good.
It's 6 minutes of, how do I say it?
6 minutes of politics analysis.
No, green news, politics. You don't even listen to me. A word I say.
News, all politics, right. Analysis,
let's just
and
go to today's, here's today's green news report. You can listen to them anytime at greennews.bradblog.com. Hit it, Tony.
It's Tuesday, February 28, 2012.
Hollywood is once again trying to indoctrinate our children.
Fox News freak out over the Lorax.
And these sons of b- come along and they tell me we're going to take this land away from you, whether you want us to or not.
TransCanada moves forward on the Keystone XL pipeline and moves against homeowners. The BP oil spill trial on hold, using the courts to halt air pollution rules, plus game-changing battery breakthrough for electric cars.
Finally, some good news. All of that and more straight ahead from bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
The Lorax is selling the new Mazda CX-5 crossover SUV. Now, it's not a polluting vehicle. It's a hybrid in that it uses a combination of gas and Olean.
This is your Green News Report.
I'm gonna
Okay, Des, it seems that not only Fox is freaking out about the Lorax, environmentalists are as well. And I should add, if Dr. Seuss was alive, you know, he never allowed his products to be commercialized. Then he died, and then it was a different story for his estate. 70 product tie-ins with the new Lorax movie.
Yep, yeah, it's pretty stunning. We'll have more on that in a moment.
Will it rhyme?
No, sorry, it won't. But first, BP's epic oil spill liability trial is on hold. The long-awaited civil trial against oil giant British Petroleum to decide who will pay damages for their 2010 oil disaster in the Gulf has been now delayed for 1 week by the federal judge overseeing the epic case to give BP and thousands of plaintiffs additional time to negotiate an out-of-court settlement. Bloomberg News reports that BP is considering a $14 billion, that's billion with a B, settlement to compensate those affected by the spill. That trial could begin as soon as next week and is independent from any fines or other punishments exerted by the government. Also in the courts, the nation's biggest polluters are suing to stop new pollution rules. The fossil fuel industry and a handful of states are asking the D.C. Court of Appeals this week to halt the EPA's new regulations on the nation's largest polluters to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. The suit, brought by the state of Virginia, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, and front groups for the fossil fuel industry, asks the court to overturn the EPA's scientific finding that greenhouse gases that cause global warming are a danger to human health, saying, quote, man-made climate change is not certain in their briefs. The controversial Keystone XL pipeline moves forward. TransCanada, the company that wants to build the 1,700-mile pipeline from the dirty tar sands of Alberta, is seeking immediate approval to build the southern leg of the pipeline to extend its already existing Keystone pipeline, which now dead ends in Cushing, Oklahoma, all the way to refineries and ports on the Gulf Coast of Texas. But property owners along the proposed route say TransCanada has already threatened to launch eminent domain proceedings against them if they refuse to allow the pipeline on their land, even though the pipeline has not been fully approved by the federal government. The ranchers are fighting back, according to Nebraska rancher Randy Thompson here in an interview with NPR.
I know what my folks went through to get a piece of ground. And these sons of come along and they tell me, we're going to take this land away from you, whether you want us to or not. And they got a fight on their hands.
Well, it's a government of the corporations, by the corporations, and for the corporations that rancher may soon find out.
Fox News freak out again.
What we're doing is we're creating Ocu toddlers.
The Lorax is the newest animated film based on the work of children's author Dr. Seuss, a cheerfully illustrated tale that focuses on the environment. But already, Lou Dobbs of Fox News Business Channel is very upset, saying it is indoctrinating our children.
Hollywood is once again trying to indoctrinate our children. Plainly with an agenda, plainly demonizing the so-called 1% and espousing the virtue of green energy policies, come what may.
Oddly, Lou Dobbs apparently is mad that The Lorax, an environmental tale, teaches kids that environmental destruction is, you know, a bad thing. But even environmental organizations are apparently cranky about the new film, too, not just because it strays from Dr. Seuss's original message, but also because of those 70 product tie-ins we referred to earlier, including the Lorax promoting an SUV that runs only on gasoline.
Unbelievable.
Finally, an important new breakthrough in battery technology. Battery company Envia has announced that using funding and technology provided by you, the taxpayer, through the Department of Energy's ARPA-E program, California startup Envia has unveiled a new, innovative lithium-ion battery technology just this week. They say it's lighter, smaller, and cheaper, and is confirmed to deliver three times the energy density of current batteries on the market at less than half the price. It will allow electric cars to go up to 300 miles on a single charge, equivalent to that of conventional gasoline cars.
Finally, some good news. Do you have any more good news on our website?
We have lots more at our website, greennews.bradblog.com.
That's where she's keeping it. While you're there, please consider a donation to help sponsor the Green News Report. We don't have 70 tie-ins. As a matter of fact, we have none. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I gotta.
All right, well done, Des.
Good report.
Thanks.
Good Green News report. Now, a couple of quick questions here before I let you go. And by the way, we're going to be taking your calls 877-520-1150. Get in line now. Lines are filling up. We got a few open. 877-520-1150. Okay, Des, on the Lorax thing, Fox News is ticked off about... The book is about...
It's an environmental story about how bad it is to destroy the environment. That's the book, but apparently Fox News, I guess, would prefer that they change the story completely to make it about how great it is to destroy the environment. I don't know.
The secret was there was time travel obviously involved. Hollywood went back in time, had Dr. Seuss write the Lorax book 30 years ago so that they could come back and
indoctrinate
turn
our
it into
children
a movie.
In 2012, years after his death. That's true. Now, I should say that, you know, yes, there are 70 product tie-ins, and yes, Dr. Seuss would never have gone for promotional consideration with his work, but the other products that are tied in,
you're
not
an apologist,
all of them,
aren't you?
Not all of them, but Universal did sign in with some eco type, more sustainable type. They're not there by a long shot, but they did a few small things.
Oh, that is the lamest excuse I have
ever
heard.
Stonyfield Farms, we like them. They're good sustainability.
Oh, so you found one product. Meantime, they're
out
there.
That's the one I can think of off the top of my head.
They're pushing this SUV.
Now, that's dumb.
Never mind. Dr. Seuss didn't want any. You couldn't make, you know, underoos with the Cat in the Hat on it when he was alive. He dies. I think it was his wife. Ends up licensing the hell out of this. He didn't want movies made out of this stuff. Now there's movies made out of it. Not only is it movies made, but they have 70 licensing tie-ins, one of them for an SUV.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
Oh, no. Now you're whistling a different tune.
No, I'm
before
just saying
you were apologizing
that to their credit,
for them.
Universal did try to bring in companies that are focusing more on ecological and sustainability.
You are such an indoctrinator. Now, the one other thing before I let you go, Des, government, this is great news. This electric battery thing?
Yes, the new breakthrough by NVIDIA, which is a California startup. They started the whole company in a Palo Alto library, and they've essentially changed the material that's used inside the battery itself. You know, instead of using what's normally used, and the chemistry, you can see it all at the links at our website, greennews.bradblog.com. Just click on today's post, and you'll see what the different materials are that they use that are lighter and cheaper, more common. They sort of take care of a lot of the problems that you have with silicon batteries.
And it
was, and
you suggest it was government money that
it's
helped.
It's a partnership. Government? It's including GM, General Motors, as well, and they and also funding from ARPA-E, which is the Defense Department's Energy Department's special new section that goes after energy, and it should be commercially available by 2015.
So government money actually helps develop commercial products.
In fact,
go
sometimes
figure.
That is the only
socialist
thing
batteries. All right, when we come back, your calls. Well done, Des. 877-520-1150. More socialist. Socialism and communism straight ahead. You're listening to Brad Friedman on the Mike Malloy Show. Stay with us.
Electric car on road so dark to change the end, rewrite the start. Electric car, so good so far. Electric car on verdant green, invent a turn, invent a dream. Electric.
Let's please. I am dying for an electric car. Please. Now we learn I can get 300 miles on the back. I don't need 300 miles. I'll take 100. I can't afford to buy one, but if any electric car company are listening out there would like to loan me one for a few months, I'll say nice things about it. Maybe, if it doesn't suck. 877-520-1150 is our phone number. 877-520-1150. Finally, to the phones. Get in now, by the way. Don't wait until the end. Everybody always calls at the end. Don't do it. Call now, 877-520-1150 to talk to me, Brad Friedman of bradblog.com, here on The Mike Malloy Show. All right, Occupy Freedom. Yay, Occupy Freedom. It calls us from L.A. right here. Hey, Occupy, and you don't use your name still, right? You just used Occupy Freedom, L.A.
I am Freedom. Nice to see you, Brad. Nice to hear you.
Good to talk to you, too, Freedom. Always good to talk to you. I should say Freedom is one of our great live journalist web streamers, streaming at where? Where do you stream?
Occupy Freedom LA on Ustream.
Occupy Freedom LA over at Ustream. Okay. Well, to what do I owe this honor of your call-in tonight, Freedom?
Well, I just wanted to touch base with you and fill you in on some work that some friends of mine are doing. You know, being a live streamer, I've connected now with an entire network of people who are doing the kind of work that I'm doing all over the world. And I just wanted to take the opportunity to draw a little bit of attention to what's going on in Syria right now.
Where?
And in Syria.
Not ringing a bell. No, I've been watching news all night long, and I haven't heard the name Syria. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that's kind of the problem, isn't it?
People okay.
People are not really paying enough attention. And I have been somewhat addicted to this story for several weeks now. And, you know, there is a genocide going on over there in that country. So I have a couple of crazy, brave friends that are citizen journalists that have decided to go over there to get the real story. So I wanted to fill you in on what they're doing. They've been over there for about 10 days. And spending some. Are you familiar with what's going on in Syria? You're being facetious.
Yes, I was being facetious, and I know that a lot of journalists are actually dying over there. So, are they in Syria proper at this time in Homs, or where are they?
No, they are not. They were though. Mm-hmm. They have been spending a lot of time in Turkey and close to the border of Syria. They did go into Syria, and they have managed to collect some really amazing footage. And they're actually now in a secure, confidential location because their lives are very much at risk. They are very much, you know, targets of the Syrian government at this point because they are shedding light on the truth of what's going on there. So they're actually trying to make their way back to the U.S. now, and they will be doing a mini documentary that will be released on the web next week.
Awesome. Where can we check that out on the web?
William's website is probably the best place to go to for that. So that's willyforreal.com. So it's WILLYFOREAL.
Okay.
Willyforreal.com is his website.
All right. Very good. Willyforreal.com. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling in with that, Freedom, and thanks for what you continue to do and what all of your citizen journalist hero web streaming friends are also doing. Really, I mean that. Thank you for all that.
By the way, there is a live streamer in Homs that I've just set up with Ustream, and he's actually live streaming from Homs now. So if everybody just wants to follow my Twitter, I'm constantly tweeting about him and putting it out when he goes live.
Mm-hmm.
So my Twitter is at Occupy Freedom LA.
Freedom LA.
Yeah, so follow me for news on that.
I will, and I already do, by the way. Thanks for your feed and your news on the Twitters. Appreciate it.
Okay, my pleasure. Always good talking to you, Brad.
And to you. Thanks for calling in. Hope to see you soon. Stay safe. All right.
Thanks.
You bet. All right, I don't have time for, we'll take a break here. We'll come back. A lot of calls. Oh, Randall in Tempe is calling in with some news from Arizona. They had an election there tonight, but they don't bother to count the ballots. They just tell us who won. That's it. They just read the computers, and that's that. Oh, and it was Romney. Romney won there. Romney won in Michigan. Yeah, that's what they tell us. So why wouldn't we believe them? Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Your call's 877-520-1150. A lot on the line, so stay with us. The sounds
seeming to be the chimes of freedom flashing.
Well, they're building a gallows outside my cell, and I've got 25 minutes to go, and the whole town's waiting just to hear me yell. I got 24 minutes to go. Well, they gave me some beans for my last meal, with 20 3 minutes to go.
Yeah, that's all we got. About 23 minutes to go here on the Mike Malloy Show. Mike and Kathy will return tomorrow night. Until then, you got me, Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. Our phone number is 877-520-1150. By the way, tomorrow, I think I'm going to be on the Young Turks. It's called The Point. It's one of their online shows that Cenk Uygur hosts. I don't know if it plays on Current or not, but tomorrow, John Fugelsang will be guest hosting, and I will be a guest on The Point. So you can check that out somewhere, wherever it is that Young Turks does their thing. Do their thing? Do their things? Do's their thing. I think over at YouTube, they got The Point. And I'll be there. So I'll also be on, I'll stay high on video at the bradblog.com chat room after the show is done tonight, if you want to stick around. And now, more of your calls. Let's go to Randall in Tempe, Arizona. Hey, Randall, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. How'd it go out there in Arizona today? Any problems at the polling places that you know of?
Oh, Brad, we're not worthy. I don't know. I put it up on Twitter asking, and I even asked AZ Central, which is the Arizona Republic's website, and
yeah,
they didn't hear anything.
No reports of problems for voters.
No.
Good.
The drones, we kind of spaced it out because there aren't any Democrats on the ballot, although it's up to us to go and be observers and stuff to make sure that the Republicans don't cheat each other. But we are participating in the hand count audit, which we have here in Arizona. We'll be hand counting 2% of the paper ballots from 2% of the precincts.
And do you have confidence, Randall, in that? Because just so people understand, paper ballots are used pretty much across the state of Arizona, but they're counted by optical scanners, like they do up in Michigan, and like they do in New York, where they found at that one precinct I read earlier in the show. You can check it out in our archives tonight online. But 70% of the ballots were wrong when they actually examined them. So you're going to examine 2%.
Yeah.
Do you have confidence that that's enough, Randall?
No, I don't. But don't tell anybody. It's a secret, you see, because if the buttholes think that it's a significant statistical sample, and that we'll catch them if they cheat, then maybe that will deter them from cheating. Even though you and I know that it's bogus.
That it's bogus, so, that they ought to just hand count the ballots, especially in Arizona. I mean, it's so rural, and so many of those counties, it would be so easy to just hand count the ballots, especially on a night like tonight, where you've got. Was there any more than just the one race?
Presidential preference primary. It's separate from our actual state primary, which is in August.
And so you just make four different piles of ballots and count them.
That's right.
You don't need all these stupid machines. You don't need to come back 2 weeks later to do an audit of 2%.
Oh, no.
It's crazy.
We've got to be space age because everybody wants to get their election results before cocktail hour.
Well, you can still get them that way, Randall. In New Hampshire, they're done before the Diebold counties are done. It's just crazy. The corporations, I guess, they have to make their money. Anyway.
Well, I want to tell you about Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders was in town Thursday night for a fundraising dinner for the Arizona Advocacy Network, which is defending democracy here in Arizona, clean elections, and challenging the voter ID law. And Don Nichols of the Nation was the MC with Bernie, and it was a wonderful time. And Raul Grijalva, our co-chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, was there, our representative from Tucson. And also, this weekend, we went up to Winslow, where we stood on the corner in Winslow, Arizona, and had a PDA leadership summit. Mr. Carpenter and Mimi Kennedy and all the gang was in on the windswept plateau of Winslow, listening to the trains go by.
All right.
And I coughed on everybody and gave them whatever this is that makes my voice sound like this.
Okay, well, that's good. Are the Democrats going to be able to take back Arizona this year finally?
We're going to try like heck. We got some active primaries. We've got some new congressional districts drawn by our Independent Redistricting Commission. And we have some active candidates going for it. And it's a chance, if we work real hard, we might get 5 out of our 9 congressional seats in the hands of Democrats.
All right, go get them, Randall. I got to get
We got to make Nancy Pelosi the speaker, otherwise we ain't going to be able to do nothing.
If you say so. Thanks, Randall. I appreciate the call. Always good to talk to you, my friend. You bet.
You
talk to you later. All right, let me get to, tons of calls coming in here. Kevin in Colorado Springs, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Kevin, what's up?
Hey, good evening, Brad.
Good evening.
I sent
sent the email to you. I had some email issues, so Desi was able to pick it up. But here in Colorado, we had 17,000 voter registrations that may be ruled as invalid.
I see that. Yeah, Desi printed this out and brought it in. This is from AP Tonight, I think. Wait, do I have the right date here?
But from KKTV.com. It may be AP Story.
Yeah, the version I have is here from AP actually yesterday, and I hadn't seen this yet. More than 17,000 Coloradans who are receiving voter registration applications from the Voter Participation Center may be signing insufficient forms. According to the Secretary of State's office, the forms failed to include a signature field and affidavit required under state law and other deficiencies. And Scott, Secretary of State Scott Gessler says some voters might believe they're registered to vote, and he's urging those who signed up to check with their county clerks. The organization says it has sent postcards explaining the problem to all recipients, and corrected forms will be sent in the next few weeks. This Voter Participation Center, they're actually, I guess they target women voters, single female voters, to try to get them signed up to the polls. You know, I would hope that 17,000 voters would not be turned away for lack of a signature on this affidavit.
I'm questioning whether it's accidental or not, because the signature didn't show up. There was no signature filled, and that's the problem. I'm also participating in several voter registration things, trying to get people to register to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And they're making it more and more difficult to be one of those people to register to vote.
I know. And I'm worried they would use something like this to say, well, see, that's why we can't have these third-party organizations. Now, you've got a terrible, a horrendous Secretary of State in this Scott Gessler guy. This is amazing. I'm not going to bore everyone with the lawsuit that went through Colorado that the judge forced the state to decertify every electronic voting machine in the state because the certification testing was a joke. Basically, they took the machines out of the box, checked to make sure the manual was there, turned it on and off, and said, yep, certified. So he ordered all the machines to actually be properly certified. They put new security restrictions on these machines. And now the Secretary of State, Gessler, is going to court, I think he's going to court, to try to get them to remove the security restrictions. For some reason, he wants less security on the electronic voting machines.
I mean, it's just, it seems that every day it's getting harder to live in a democracy. And you were talking earlier to the last caller about getting back Arizona on the left side of things. And it just seems like it's harder and harder every day. Forget which political party you want.
Mm-hmm.
If they're only counting 2%, do the math, 200 votes. And they only check four of them, and three of them are for Romney and one's for Santorum. Well, who are they going to declare the winner?
Well, just to be clear, what he was talking about is the post-election audit. They actually count them by hand, but days later, instead of counting it that night. So, I mean, these systems are so easy to game. They are so often just malfunction. You know, it's either malfeasance or malfunction. And yet we continue to use these systems. It's insane. But you knew that.
Let me ask you real quick, because I am blind and I'm a user of iTunes, or not iTunes, TuneIn.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any other shows besides subbing for Mike? Do you have any other regular shows that you do?
Well, thank you for asking. As a matter of fact, I do a show on Wednesday. We've been off for a few weeks now the Pacifica affiliate out here, so KPFK. Out here in Los Angeles, 90.7 FM. But we've been off for a month for a fun drive, but I'm back a week from tomorrow. So actually, and it's just one day a week, Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Pacific time. And tune in radio, you actually can pick up KPFK on tune in radio.
That's kind of what I was asking because the last time I tuned in to KPFK to listen to you, they had the fundraiser going on. So
everybody's raising funds. We need it. And by the way, speaking of which, buy a Mike Malloy podcast if you haven't already. Support Progressive Radio, whether it's on the Mike Malloy Show, whether it's over there on Pacifica. But yeah, KPFK.org. I will be back, not tomorrow, Wednesday, but a week from tomorrow, I'll be back at my usual time for the foreseeable future at 3 p.m. Pacific. So thank you, Kevin, for asking. Appreciate
we
that.
We need the voices, so keep it up.
Thank you, brother. Really do appreciate it. Take care, Kevin.
Take care.
Let me get to a quick call here before we go to a break. Where was that? What happened to that Indiana caller? Oh, I was ready to take that Indiana caller. I wanted to talk about that. All right. Very quickly, then, let's go to Chicago, Illinois. MC, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. MC, what's up?
Hey, not a lot. How you doing, Brad?
I'm okay.
I was really glad to hear Freedom from L.A. Live streaming is jumping off big time.
Yep.
It's just in time for Occupy.
Yep.
It's awesome.
Yep.
And it's a perfect example. Like, I'm calling in because I'm I told the screener. I'm not sure who I spoke with, but
we have a number of levels of screening. It's very difficult to get through
all right. the filters. well, level one.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was just wanted to comment about Buddy Romer and kind of this top down cult of personality type of campaigning, mm-hmm. like Perot style or whatever. I think like it's a perfect example of like what Freedom's doing and lots of other people from the ground up. And those are two different types of politics, and I want to see more of the one from the ground up than this, you know, this dude who's like, I don't want to sign a platform. You know what I mean? I think we should have a platform. It should be based on local activism.
Well,
you know,
I think what
government.
I think what he's saying was he did not want to be beholden to that group that Americans elect, since he doesn't know where their money comes from. But you know, to his credit, and there's in truth very little that I actually agree with Buddy Romer on. But on the big key points that he's been out there pushing, he's been out there talking to the folks from Occupy, trying to get people to pay attention to the occupation, saying that we have to get the corporate money out of the political system. 100%. And frankly, he's the only guy saying that anywhere, at least not the, you know, Republican and Democratic Party. They're not saying it. Barack Obama is signing up for super PACs. And, you know, I understand he doesn't want to unilaterally disarm. Fine, whatever. But if he was up there saying, let's get corporate money out of our politics, out of our election, period, you know, we might get somewhere with that. We might get a constitutional amendment to put an end to this madness. So I got to give credit to Romer on that score.
Well, and you know, fine. I mean, I used to be in sales too, and I used to tell people, you know, trust me. I mean, you know, what choice do we really have? When you've got a track record, when you've got, you know, thousands of people throwing in a little bit here and a little bit there, and you've mm-hmm. got time behind you, and you've got hard work you've put in, which is what a, kind of a political party ends up looking like over time, then people know that you really are going to back up your words, and you're not just saying, trust me. And I feel like a lot of times with these individual politicians, mm-hmm. you're right, Brad, and I'm not trying to take this guy down. I'm not attacking him.
Oh,
but,
that's all right.
You know, I think you've got the right idea. You know, I mean, and, you know, you've got to pay attention to this stuff because you're following the news, and I'm glad you are.
I got it.
NDAA is ridiculous. It's terrible.
I got to get out. Listen, I just want more voices, more people. You know, I think this idea that Obama did not face a primary, that there had to be no debate on that side, I think that's just crazy. Democracy, democracy, people. It's not that hard. Thanks, MC, for the call. I got to get to a break. If you're on the line, I'll try to get to you. 877-520-1150. More voices, more people, less corporations, less money, more democracy. Is that so goddamn hard? Apparently it is. Brad, in for Mike Malloy.
And the men who hold high places must be the ones who start to mold a new reality closer to the heart.
Ooh.
again. Don't know where, don't know when.
Yes, I do.
But I know we'll meet again some sunny day.
We'll be back in April. I'll be back for a whole week. Don't worry about it, Johnny. Let's see. Also, tomorrow night, we'll meet on the Young Turks The Point show with John Fugelsang, guest hosting, and me being a smart aleck or something, whatever it is that I'm called upon to do as a guest on that show. And and then a week from Wednesday, you can hear me on kpfk.org, 3 p.m. Pacific time, with my regular weekly show that I do for them on Pacifica. Okay. My thanks tonight to engineer Tony Sorrentino. Earlier I said you sucked. I don't mean it. You're very good. Also, producer Desi Doyen and associate producer Margot Paez. Thank you both. You both rock. In the chat room, my thanks as ever to For Earth, Jeannie Dean, and Dale for keeping an eye on things. I'm going to have to read that chat room later tonight. I haven't gotten to look at it at all. And, of course, my thanks to Mike and Kathy Malloy, as ever, for having me sit in their place. They will be back tomorrow, never fear. And if you're listening on MikeMalloy.com, stay tuned for Head On with Bob Kincaid. All right, let's see how many more calls I can get to here very, very quickly. Jerry in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Welcome to the Malloy Show. What's up, Jerry?
Hi, just a couple things real quick. One about Buddy Romer. I was listening to Tom Hartman's show today.
Buddy Romer, yes.
Buddy Romer.
Yeah.
And he said that when he was on Tom's show, he said that Tom asked him about...
Was he on Tom today?
Yep. Well, he wasn't on there. He just met. He just referenced him.
Oh, okay.
Somebody called him and made that.
Stealing my
guests. What he said was, if he wanted to privatize Social Security, so that's a non-starter for me personally.
Fair enough.
And then secondly, I just wondered if, as citizens, we can do anything to overcome the issues you brought up, like the machines mm-hmm. and the voter repression. Like, can we do absentee ballots anywhere that would be better than standing in line? Can we become election judges? Is there anything that anybody's come up with to counteract that
Well,
stuff?
A lot of those things are a good idea. One, you can read brandblog.com because I report on this all the time and tell you things that you can do. I'm not trying to pimp for myself there. I'm just trying to get you information. When
right.
I've only got a minute here left. So, no, you want to vote on election day on a paper ballot if you can. If the only way to vote locally is on a touchscreen voting machine, then do it by absentee, but see if you can bring that absentee ballot into the election headquarters or into your precinct on election day. Vote on paper on election day. Yes, work as a poll worker. Yes, be a poll watcher. Yes, raise holy hell about all of these things that I'm talking about tonight and demand that they do pilot programs in your community for hand-counted paper ballots at the polling place before those ballots ever leave anywhere. Count them publicly with everybody overseeing it, all parties, all video cameras. Get those things counted before the ballots are moved anywhere. Now we can oversee the system, and when there are errors, we can do something about it. And we've seen that in places like Iowa, the Iowa caucuses this year. Citizens stepped forward and said, nope, you got it wrong. So that's what you can do. But otherwise, inform yourself, educate yourself, and raise holy hell, Jerry. And I talked to you longer about it, but I got to get out.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jerry. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Let me see if I can get, do I have time? Let me see. Steven, Steven in Burbank, you got 15 seconds. Go!
Yeah, Brad, one of the right-wing's favorite talking points, they want to get in their cars and drive cross-country on gasoline. It doesn't have to be that way. And then there are also the hot rodders. The Tesla can do 0 to 60 in about 3.5 seconds. Now, it's going to take a lot of time and energy and money to build a big block Chevy that can beat that.
All right, the electric car is coming, Steven. It's coming whether the fossil fuel companies want it to or not. Sorry, LTC Barber, didn't have time for you. Glad you voted today. Sorry for all the people who couldn't vote because they didn't have a photo ID out there in Arizona or whatever it is you're calling in favor of. Voter suppression? I'm against it. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. We'll see you at bradblog.com.